The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are wonderful things. Their tops are made out of rubber, their bottoms are made out of springs. They're bouncy, trouncy, flouncy, pouncy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one.
You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are marvelous chaps. They're loaded with vim and with vigor. They love to leap on your laps. They're jumpy, bumpy, clumpy, thumpy, fun, 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 fun. But the most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one.
We light this candle for our joys and concerns, our disappointments and hopes, for family, friends, and foes, for Mother Earth and all who dwell in her. Those were the words of Peter Ferguson. Welcome to this place made holy by our presence. It is rooted in love, inspired by wisdom, nourished by hope, grounded on our seven principles, fed by our traditions, grown through our deeds. Those are the words of Jinnah Hastings. We do not have to think alike to love alike. We do not have to love alike to think alike. And our togetherness encourages us to grow. My name's Jenny Dyster and I'm a regular leader of services here. Our seven principles are as appropriate for atheists as they are for people for whom God is a meaningful presence. Your beliefs are your business. Our business is to support you on your path. Any path that leads to an examined life, a search for meaning, a search for love, and a search for community.
We have known each other for many a year, ever since we grew up on the farm. And I'll always love you and keep you near, for we are brothers in arms. Well, we're off on the trail to parts unknown. I'm amazed by the colors I see. We were once only kids, but now we're grown. I feel safe when you're walking with me.
Alexander Alan Milne was born in the 1880s and died in the 1950s. Winnie the Pooh and the House at Pooh Corner were 1920s publications. He was a war veteran, a survivor from the trenches in France, and I'll save his story for another day. If you look at Disney-inspired merchandise, at the calendars, the cards, the animated presentations of Pooh and the gang, you may well wonder why such sentimental, dated pap is so popular. I never did wonder. Firstly, my parents were a bit snot-nosed about Disney. We lived beyond the reach of television and Disney until I was in high school. Furthermore, my dad, himself a war vet, amateur actor and school principal, read the characters so well I got the point without any explanation that they were all different kinds of people. Piglet is paranoia. Eeyore is depression. Tigger is impulsive behaviours. Rabbit is perfection-caused aggression. Owl is memory loss. And Kanga represents overprotection. I would, of course, never have used these words to describe them. I hadn't acquired the nouns. The point is they're all child-friendly representations of characteristics of post-traumatic stress. And Milne needed to explain post-traumatic stress to his son. He scared the living daylights out of him one day by accident by taking fright at a swarm of bees. And another thing he was scared at, very common with vets, was balloons popping. So there was a place for having to invent some sort of explanation. Now this leaves Winnie, who Alan wrote in for himself as Christopher Robin's guide through the Hundred Acre Woods, his father's mind. And this mind has intrigued professors of literature, spawning scholarly articles on the subject of the true meaning of Pooh, his poetry, psychology, etc. From these theses, dear friends, I spare you. The source of my inspiration today is Benjamin Hoff's The Tao of Pooh. Hoff, a Western Taoist, saw past the image of a dumpy little bear wandering about asking silly questions, making up songs, and going through all kinds of adventures without ever accumulating any amount of intellectual knowledge or losing his simple-minded happiness. He wrote a book explaining the principles of Taoism through Winnie the Pooh, and he explained Winnie the Pooh through principles of Taoism. To introduce to his method, I will walk you through Coddleston Pie, the fourth chapter. Hoff begins by reminding us that when Kanga and Roo came to the forest, Rabbit immediately decided he didn't like them and hatched a plot to get rid of them. A clever plan, which failed, as clever plans do sooner or later. The thing that makes someone truly different, that is unique, says Hoff, is something cleverness cannot really understand. The vehicle he uses to unpack the notion of inner nature or the special something is Pooh's song, Coddleston Pie. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie, a fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle and I reply, Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Well, a fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. It's very simple, very logical. But we violate this principle every day of our lives in ignoring the clear reality of things as they are. Let's look at a little selection of Taoist writings, a jewel. Hui Tse said to Chuang Tse, I have a large tree which no carpenter can turn into lumber. Its branches and trunk are all crooked and tough, covered with bumps and depression. No builder would turn his head to look at it. Your teachings are the same, useless, without value. No one will pay attention to them. The reply from Chuang Tse, as you know, a cat is very skilled at capturing prey. Crouching low, it can jump in any direction, pursuing whatever it's after. But when its attention is focused thus, it can easily be captured in a net. On the other hand, a yak is not so easily overcome. It stands like a stone or a cloud in the sky, but for all its strength, it cannot catch a mouse. You complain that your tree is not valuable as lumber, but you could make use of it as shade, rest under its sheltering branches, and stroll beneath it, admiring its character and appearance. Since it would not be endangered by an axe, what could threaten its existence? It is useless to you only because you want to make it into something else and not use it in the proper way. In other words, everything has its own place and function. That applies to people, stuck as they are in the wrong job, the wrong marriage, the wrong house. When you know and respect your own inner nature, you know where you belong. You also know where you don't belong. What is glamorous and exciting to some can be a dangerous trap for others. Another illustrative story. While sitting on the banks of the Pu River, Chuangzi was approached by two representatives of the Prince of Chu, who offered him a position at court. Chuangzi watched the flowing water and finally remarked, "I'm told the prince has a sacred tortoise, over 2,000 years of age, which is kept in a box, wrapped in silk and brocade." "That is true," the officials replied. "If the tortoise had been given the choice," Chuangzi continued, "which do you think he would have liked better, to have been alive in the mud or dead within the palace?" "Oh, to have been in the mud, of course," the men answered. "I too," said Chuangzi, "prefer mud. Bye." "I like mud too," said Pooh. "On a summer's day, nothing like it." "Mud's nice," said Piglet. "It adds colour to your skin." "Can't say I ever cared for it," says Owl. "It sticks to your feathers." "You see," said Hoff the scholar, "everyone's different. That's what we were discussing." "I thought we were talking about mud," said Piglet. "So did I," said Pooh. You see how adeptly these toys avoid the accumulation of intellectual baggage. Now let's look at the next verse. "Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston pie. A fish can't whistle, and neither can I. Ask me a riddle, and I reply, Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston pie." Now Tigger is the archetype for failing to recognize his own limitations. One morning, Roo and Tigger were walking through the forest, and Tigger was talking about all the things that Tiggers can do. "Can they fly?" asked Roo.
"Oh yes," said Tigger, "they're really good flyers, extraordinary good flyers."
"Ooh," said Roo, "can they fly as well as Owl?"
"Yeah," said Tigger, "only they don't want to."
"I can swim," said Roo. "I fell in the river and I swimmed. Can Tiggers swim?"
"Of course they can. Tiggers can do everything."
"Can they climb trees better than Pooh?" asked Roo, stopping under the tallest pine tree.
"Climbing's what they do best," said Tigger. "Much better than Pooh's."
So the next thing you know, they were stuck up the tree. Piglet and Pooh came along and by and by had a long conversation about the habits of jagulars hiding on trees and dropping on you.
"They don't hurt themselves," said Pooh. "They're such very good droppers."
One of the jagulars cried out, as if to illustrate Pooh's point.
"They call help, help," said Pooh, "and then they drop on you."
Fortunately, Christopher Robin and Eeyore arrived and a rescue net was formed. Roo jumped and was saved. Tigger sort of jumped and sort of crashed, tearing the net. Everyone ended up in a confused heap with Eeyore on the bottom.
"Quite a bit of trouble you put everyone through, wasn't it, Tigger?" said Eeyore. "Well, I learned through experience, though," said Tigger evasively.
"Oh, did you?"
"Of course, you won't find me doing that again," he said in a confident sort of way. "Roo and I are going swimming now."
"Oh, well, don't forget to take your rope."
"A rope? Why a rope?" said Tigger.
"Oh, just in case anyone falls in."
There's a saying from Chinese medicine that would be appropriate to mention here. One disease, long life. No disease, short life. In other words, those who know what's wrong with them will take care of themselves accordingly and will live longer than those who consider themselves perfectly healthy and neglect their weaknesses. The same goes for your limitations. If you acknowledge them, you may find a way around them. A fish can't whistle, and neither can I. Well, how about flute? Panpipes? Recorder? CD player? Time for our last verse. Cottleston, Cottleston, Cottleston pie. Why does a chicken?
Well, I don't know why. I don't know why a chicken does what it does. Instinct? DNA? Or are these just smart labels that don't explain a great deal, but just lead to even more suppositions and questions? It was by suppositions and questions that Pooh and Piglet got into such a bother with the heffalump.
Thank you, Jane and Bob, for your reading of the tale.
Ask me a riddle and I reply. Inner nature. Ask me a riddle and I reply. Things as they are. Ask me a riddle and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston pie. Now that sounds much better. But now we know the principle, we can look at its applications. No two people are alike. Everything has its own inner nature. If we can work with our weaknesses and behavioural tendencies, we can work with our own characteristics and be in control of our lives. The way of self-reliance starts with recognising who we are, what we have to work with, and what works best for us. Sooner or later, we are bound to discover things about ourselves which we don't like. Do we want to get rid of them completely? Change them into other things? Or use them in beneficial ways? The last two approaches are especially useful since they avoid head-on conflict and therefore minimise struggle. So rather than work against ourselves, we need firstly to identify our weaknesses, unpleasant tendencies, or as my great aunts would have said, our funny little ways. The following incident, recorded by the Taoist Lu'an, can serve to illustrate. In the state of Chu, a housebreaker became a soldier under General Zufa, a man known for utilising the abilities of others to a remarkable degree. Now, a short time after the housebreaker was taken on, the general's army were in a very tight spot and were driven back from their position three times. The strategists were exhausting their minds and the enemy was growing stronger by the hour. The housebreaker volunteered to work for the defence and the general granted his request. That night, the housebreaker sneaked into the enemy general's tent and removed the curtains from his bed. The next morning, General Zufa sent them back, the curtains back, with a note explaining they'd been found in the woods by men gathering firewood. The next night, the thief removed a pillow, and it was returned the same way. On the third night, our housebreaker removed the general's jade hairpin. It was returned to his tent the next day. The enemy general called his soldiers together. One more night, he warned them, and it will be my head. The troops broke camp and returned home later that day. So, there's no such ability that is too useless, too crooked, or too small. It only depends what you do with it. As Lao Tse pointed out, the bad can be raw material for the good. And indeed, our friends discovered this when on Rabbit's instructions, they attempted to unbalance Tigger by losing him in the midst of the forest. Well, this clever plan failed to produce a small and sorry Tigger who bounced no more. They all got lost, except Tigger, because Tiggers don't get lost, not even in the mist at the top of the forest. Piglet, Pooh and Christopher Robin eventually found their way home, but it was left to Tigger to tear around the forest making yapping noises for Rabbit. And at last, a very small and sorry Rabbit heard him. And the very small and sorry Rabbit rushed through the mist at the noise, and it suddenly turned into Tigger. A friendly Tigger. A grand Tigger. A large and helpful Tigger. A Tigger who bounced in just the beautiful way a Tigger ought to bounce. There are things about ourselves that we need to change, but at the same time, we don't need to be too desperate, too ruthless or too combative. Along the way to usefulness and happiness, many of those things will change themselves and others can be worked upon as we go.
The first thing we need to do is recognize and trust our own inner nature and not lose sight of it. For within the bouncy Tigger is the rescuer who knows the way. And in each of us, there is something special we need to keep. After all, as Piglet said, Tigger's all right, really.
Of course he is, said Christopher Robin.
Everybody is really, said Pooh. That's what I think, but I don't suppose I'm right.
Of course you are, said Christopher Robin. And that brings us to the end. I just do one of these a year. I think that's probably enough of Pooh Bear for us for a year, but it's amazing what people get out of it. And I can thoroughly recommend Benjamin Hoff's two books. One's called The Tao of Pooh and the other is called The Tea of Piglet. You might like to stand for the benediction. Feel free to do so.
Go with gladness through the rain and the sun. Go your ways with gladness, with love in your heart, peace in your mind, and beauty touching your soul. And those were the words of Andrew Usher.
Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie, a fly can't bird, but a bird can fly. Ask me a riddle and I'll reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.
Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie, a fish can't whistle and neither can I. Ask me a riddle and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie, why does a chicken, I don't know why, ask me a riddle and I reply. Coddleston, Coddleston, Coddleston Pie.